Hey, Misfits. I'm your host, Melinda. Thank you for joining Mystery Loves Company. Now hold on to your butts as we go on another mysterious adventure. Let's see what today has in store for us. Hey guys, thanks for joining me tonight. Tonight I'm going to tell you a story. This is a story about something that happened to somebody who is very, very near and dear to my heart, my sweet little baby girl, my oldest daughter. She, a couple of years ago, she lived in an apartment, and all of a sudden, at 3 a.m., every single morning, she would wake up and she would be terrified. She would feel somebody staring at her. And she knew somebody was trying to get her attention, but she was insanely terrified, could not shake this. And so once she would wake up, she was awake, and she would just lay there in her bed, trembling in fear, trying to force herself to go back to sleep. Over and over and over. For weeks, this took place. For weeks. And she would call me daily. Mom, I woke up at 3 o'clock again this morning. Mom, I woke up at 3 o'clock again this morning. Mom, there is somebody in my room. There is somebody staring at me. There is somebody trying to get my attention. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what's going on, but this is freaking me out. And her and I would talk through it. I would try to calm her, but at the same time, I didn't know what the hell was taking place. And there was one time, during this time that was going on, I took my other kids and my husband, and we went over to their house, and we had pizza and whatever, and just kind of hung out. And we were videoing the kids, and they were playing games and stuff like that. And on the videos, you can see all these orbs on the videos, which was super interesting. And so I would just like to point out that my daughter is a very, 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 very sensitive. She is, I would almost classify her as clairvoyant. And so that runs very, very strong in my family. I've said it on here before, like we all have different gifts, but I am pretty certain that my daughter is clairvoyant and her gifts are very powerful and very strong. But at this point in time, she was just coming into them or just realizing them. She had really always kind of had these gifts since she was a little girl, but she's just starting to try to understand them. We'll put it that way. So anyway, she's waking up at 3 a.m. every morning with somebody staring at her. And so then she gets to the point where she goes downstairs. Her apartment's upstairs. So she comes down the stairs outside and she goes to walk to her car. And every time she passes by her downstairs neighbor's door, she gets this sick feeling in her tummy, and it would just really, really nauseate her, and she would feel it in her back. And so then she'd walk past the door, she'd be fine, she'd get in her car, she'd go off, go to work, go about her day. And so it was this same thing every day for multiple days. And then the stuff in her apartment started getting stronger and stronger, like demanding attention. And she would just call me absolutely terrified. And like whatever was happening was demanding attention. And she felt as if this entity was getting pissed off that she wasn't giving it the attention that it needed. And so then again, every time she would walk downstairs, go by her neighbor's door, the pit in her stomach would just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the stuff that started happening in her apartment just got worse and worse and worse. And Oh man, she would call me and tell me all these different things, different noises that she would hear, different things that she would see. And like there was definite major activity happening in her apartment. And then she started smelling this putrid, horrifying smell. And she was just like, "Mom, I don't know what this smell is. I have gone through everything. It is not my bathroom. It is not my garbage disposal. It is not in my washer." She's checking everything in her apartment, trying to figure out, like, there's no trash, like, nothing that could be causing this horrifying putrid smell. Now, her husband at the time could not smell this. He couldn't smell it at all. And she had other people over to her apartment. They could not smell this smell. She, however, it's all she could smell. It was horrifying and like it permeated her nose. And so then one day she goes downstairs to go to work and she goes to pass her downstairs neighbor's door. And as she goes to walk across it, she just stops dead in her tracks. And she can't move at that point in time. And so she kind of starts looking around. And she looks at her neighbor's door or her neighbor's car. And her neighbor's car is covered in dust, hasn't been moved at all. And God knows how long it's been that it hasn't been moved. And so then she starts thinking, wow, I have not seen my neighbor. I have not seen my neighbor at all. And so then she looks over at her neighbor's door, and there's flies all over her neighbor's door. And she was just like, something is bad. Something is definitely wrong. So she calls her apartment manager, and she said, hey, I need somebody to check on my neighbor. I have not seen my neighbor. Her car is covered in dust, has not been moved. There's something wrong. My neighbor lives alone, and I need someone to check on her. And they argued with her a little bit, and she was just very adamant. She could not move from the spot in which she was standing. And she said, somebody needs to get here now and check on my neighbor. There is something wrong, and I need someone to check on her. And so finally they agreed, okay, we'll come down and we'll check on her. And my daughter stands there. Her husband at the time comes down. He's standing with her, waiting. And when the apartment manager opens up the door to that apartment, they see her neighbor laying on the floor dead in this pool of ooze. Like all these fluids oozing out of this person. And she was completely decomposing. And so like ultimately, my daughter ended up finding somebody who had died in their apartment. And this person lived alone. Didn't have visitors, anything like that. Like they had nobody. And being that my daughter is sensitive, they were trying to get her attention over and over and over. Come find me, come find me, come find me. And so once my daughter found this individual, and it was a horrifying sight, apparently. I mean, I wasn't there, I didn't see it. But judging off of the way that my daughter describes this, it was absolutely horrifying. She's never seen anything like it. But once this person was found, everything went away. My daughter was not woken up at 3 a.m. anymore. And my daughter did not have the weird bullshit happening in her apartment anymore. The smell was completely gone from her apartment. Like she was able to pass, like walk past her downstairs neighbor's door without getting sick. Like it was 100% her neighbor telling her, come find me. Come find me. And I will give you some more stories on what my daughter has. Okay, guys, so this story is also about my daughter, and I actually have her here, so I am going to let her take it away on her creepy shit.
Hi, I'm Mercedes. I'm Melinda's daughter. We kind of wanted to share a story about a weird experience my sister and I had together, actually. We still talk about it to this day, just because we can't really understand or comprehend why we're the only two people that experienced it. So in my parents' house, my brother's room, actually, his old bedroom, nobody likes that room here. We've all experienced some pretty weird stuff. And when we first moved in, my sister and I, there's so many things that have happened leading up to this moment, but his closet, everybody hates his closet in that room.
Truth, we hate his closet. I don't even like that room.
No, yeah, when he was in that room, he had that closet. He had his office desk.
He did have a desk in front of his closet.
And his TV. It was all just shut away. But my sister and I went into that closet one day. And we were just looking around and stuff. There was something weird going on. And there was this small rectangular door up in the right hand of the closet. Like, you go in, there's the, what is it called? The little hanger rod.
The hanger rod?
Yeah. And then right below that, there was this door. And it was only shut by a screw where, like, a handle would be. And Grace and I were super intrigued by it. We were just like, that's weird. And there was a little crack and you could see into it, but when you looked into it, it looked like it was going up to the attic. And I don't really know if we have an attic here.
Sure. We do have an attic. We just don't have anything and it's pretty much insulation.
Yeah. But it seriously looked like you could go up into the attic. And Grace and I were like, we should go exploring into it. Like, let's go. And we tried to open it, but we couldn't. And I don't know why we couldn't. I think we were too afraid to ask Dad to open it or something. I don't really remember. But we obviously didn't end up going. But it's always been there. And it just, her and I at the time talked about it. And it both just gave us the heebie-jeebies. Like, we were terrified of that door. And anyway, nothing really happened with that. But a couple weeks ago, but maybe more a month ago, Grace and I were over here and we were actually talking about it. And my brother and my mom, they were in the kitchen with us. And we were like, we went upstairs. We were looking at something and I was like, where did that door go? And Grace is like, I don't know. And we came back down and we were like, did you guys board up that door that was there? Or did Dad do something with it? Because it's not there anymore. And Mom, you were like, there's never a door there.
Mm-hmm.
And Grace and I just looked at each other and we were like, yeah, there was. And you were like, no, pretty sure there wasn't.
Yeah, we didn't do any construction in there.
And Grace and I were just like, no, there was... we very clearly remember that door. We were terrified of it. And Mom was just like, okay, well, go ask your dad. Maybe he did something with it. And dad said there was never a door there. And we just kind of looked at each other and we're like, okay, either we're both crazy or there's something weird going on here. Because it's not just me that saw the door. My sister very much was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just a one-time thing. Like, this was growing up. That door was there. And it's just gone. It disappeared. It's not there anymore. And her and I cannot figure out what it was to, because when we think about it now, on the other side of Camden's closet, it's the hallway.
Yeah.
And so...
yeah, it's the hallway.
We are just... that's one thing we are very confused about. And we just cannot... we can't figure it out.
Well, and it makes me so thankful that you guys were too scared to ask Dad to open that door, because what would... what was behind that door? Why was there just some random creepy little door? And, I mean, the fact that the door is not there now, and I've never seen the door... the closet's still super gross. I actually tried to make that room my home gym for a while, only I couldn't be in that room long enough to really get in a good workout. So no telling what was actually behind that door.
I don't know. And it wasn't even a big one. It wasn't like a full-size door or anything. It was just a little rectangular door you would see on Coraline. Like, seriously.
And this is pre-Coraline.
This was before Coraline came out, and there was just a little screw where a doorknob would be that kept the door shut.
So weird. And have we asked your brother if he ever saw this door?
I'm not sure if we've asked him or not.
Because ultimately, at that point in time, that room was Grace's room.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that wasn't even Camden's room yet, so... ultimately, I guess Camden probably wouldn't have even known about it if it was during the time when that was Gracie's room.
Yeah.
And Gracie lived in that room until you moved out, and then she moved into your room, and then that became Camden's room.
Yeah.
So.
And I know he was terrified of that room.
He was.
And that closet. That closet was always shut, and there was a desk in front of it, and his TV and everything just blocking that closet from opening.
Yeah, and I think that room kind of hardened your brother a little bit. On his scare factor, because now, I mean, he still gets creeped out because we have the creepiest house that ever lived, but like the only thing missing is the actual walls breathing. Okay. But I asked him the other day, because when I wake him up for school in the mornings, his room is black. His room is pitch dark. Oh, I know.
Do you remember the things I experienced in my room?
Yes.
The one he's in now.
The one he's in now? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do remember them. And so that's why I was asking him about it. And he's like, oh, no, it's still definitely scary. He's like, and when I get scared, I just close my eyes real tight and I force myself to fall asleep. And I'm just like, where the hell did you learn how to do that? Because when I get scared, sleep is absolutely not what's happening. Like, it's not what's happening. And my poor feet cook because I can't have them outside of the blankets. And how did you learn that? And I think that room taught him.
Yeah.
Like, he grew up with the yuck and he just learned how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Must have been something.
Well, yeah. Lines. I mean, we didn't really have a choice. If we talked about it or anything, it was just kind of like, knock it off.
Yeah.
It was never really accepted while we were growing up.
Well, right. Yeah, the scary talk scares Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, so Camden kind of really had to teach himself how to deal with it. Because he didn't really have anyone to go to about
Well,
it.
He always had me. Like, you guys could always talk to me about the stuff. It's just Dad didn't like to... Dad doesn't like to hear about it because he feels like if he hears about it or if he talks about it... or if he engages in any sort of way, he's welcoming something in. Mm-hmm. And so he just, like, completely shut down to it. He doesn't like it. Doesn't like it at all. Which is very unfortunate for him because he has the most spiritual women.
Oh, I know. And it's hard, too, because everything, not even just me, but Camden, Grace... you, like, everything we experienced living in this house while we were growing up, it was hard talking about it because there were times where I would talk about it and I felt like I was the only one, like I was crazy, honestly.
Sure.
And nobody believed me until I was much older and we were able to open up about it and talk about it and it became acceptable, like you're not the only one experiencing this. And that's kind of when everybody was like,
well, let's all just come out with everything we're all experiencing right in this moment. Because it's still happening.
Yep. It was just a free-for-all. Absolutely. So, I think that's the story on the creepy-ass closet, unless you have anything else to add.
Not about that closet. It's just more of like a mystery. And it scares me in a way just because it's like, how and why was it there?
And
why
where the hell did it go?
Yeah,
absolutely. And it is a mystery. It's a total mystery, especially the fact that there were multiple people that saw it. It wasn't just one person who maybe thought they saw something. It was
seen by
multiple people. And so that does make it very wonky, little wonky. So... okay, well, then we will segue into our next Mercedes story. Okay, so on this Mercedes story, we are actually going to talk about something that she is currently experiencing in her home at this moment, which is some pretty fucked up shit. So I'm going to let her tell this story. But you might want to hold on to your butts a little bit because it's pretty scary.
Yeah, it doesn't help that I'm the one that has to experience it by myself.
Well, I mean, you do have your toddler son.
Mom, that does not help. That makes me more nervous.
Truth.
This started the 29th, actually, of January. Is when all of this weird stuff started happening. I'm not sure exactly as to why it started or what brought it here. And it's not just me, it's happening too. You know, my best friend, this is the weird thing. It started happening. She started experiencing things the same time as I did. But we'll start with the freakiest situation I actually had to call my mom about. I've been waking up between 1 and 3 o'clock every single morning, and when I wake up, I can't go back to sleep. I feel sleep deprived. And at first, when I was waking up around that time, I wasn't feeling anything or seeing anything. It was just I was awake. And then little things started happening here and there, and I do have neighbors, so when I would wake up around that time, I would hear, I still do, it sounds like there's somebody running around upstairs or thudding upstairs, and I'm like, oh, it's probably my neighbors. But at the same time, I'm like, every single night? And why between 1 and 3, you know? Well, this was the other night, and I think this is when things kind of just took a turn for me. I was asleep downstairs. I have not slept in my room in a while. I don't know why. I've just been uncomfortable. So I was asleep downstairs in the living room, and my son was asleep in bed. And I woke up at 2 something. And shortly after I woke up, my son woke up, started crying. And I went, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. This is what happened right before this situation. Let me backtrack once more. Same kind of scenario. I woke up between 1 and 3. Oh, goodness. I texted you about it when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up between 1 and 3. My son woke up shortly after I did. I walked upstairs, grabbed his bottle, came back downstairs, went to my kitchen, and started putting milk in it, and something moved my hair.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Yep.
I turned around and screamed, get the fuck out. And I went back upstairs, gave him his bottle. And oddly enough, I went right back to sleep. Like, it didn't bother me or anything. And it kind of just went away after that. And I didn't really think about it again until I called you at 3 a.m. the other night. I'd woken up again around 2-ish. And couldn't really go back to sleep. And at first, I didn't feel anything really watching me. I was downstairs on the couch. And if you look behind my couch, you can see there's like a little triangle window going up to my stairs. My son woke up shortly after I did it again. And I made him a bottle, came back downstairs. Oof, fuck. I hate talking about this. But I heard a noise, and it sounded like, and I didn't even comprehend it at all. I was just so tired. I was like, whatever. Well, it kept doing it, and I remember the last time it did it, it was, and I looked behind the couch to my stairwell, and I felt something disgusting staring at me. I mean, I could not physically see it, but I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the eyes looked like. I know what their smile looked like.
Yeah, because that's what you had told me, that you felt it smiling like a mocking smile at you.
And it looked like death. It was disgusting. I mean, it was not, it wasn't good. It is the most disgusting feeling. And I froze. I could not move. My face is getting hot talking about it. It terrified the shit out of me. And I tried to ignore it for a second, and it wouldn't go away. So I called my mom. And
at 3 a.m.
And my mom doesn't ever answer in the middle of the night.
Absolutely not. Actually, I never have my ringer on, so it was very odd that my ringer was on. So... That worked out.
And I was telling her what was happening, and I was just like, I am terrified right now. I can't move. I am frozen. And she was just like, okay, well, let's pray. And so we did, and I muted my mom because I get kind of embarrassed sometimes when...
Well, it's an intimate, personal... Praying is intimate and personal, so yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah. Well, my mom's like, don't show it any fear. You know, we're going to pray. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to pray by myself and whatnot. So I muted her for a minute, prayed, told it to get out of my house. Well, as soon as we were done doing that, I looked in my kitchen and there was this tall gray figure that walked from my cabinets to my mirror, and I hysterically started crying.
I have honestly never heard that amount of fear in your voice in my life. Like, the scream that was coming out of you, like, made my stomach fall straight through my asshole, and all I wanted to do was grab you. But you're in a different freaking town. And like, there, I was completely helpless in that moment, but I have never heard something so heart-wrenching in my life. It was horrifying. Please continue.
I mean, I was there. I have been terrified since then. And I couldn't move. I curled up into a ball on my couch. Like, I was sitting straight up. I had goosebumps all over my body. I felt like I just couldn't breathe. And I was telling mom what was going on. And she was just like, you grab that baby and you come over. Pretty much.
Yep.
And so, as much as I did not want to move, I was like, do not hang up the phone. Like, you stay on this phone with me until I get in my car. So I grabbed my son, and we ended up coming to my mom's house. And I still had a hard time sleeping, even over here. I haven't really been able to sleep well at all since all of this has been going on. I mean, I am waking up between 1 and 3 every single night, and I cannot go back to sleep. And I'm woke up. And I'm terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And whether I experience something physically or not, I just feel terrified when I do wake up. And I'm having nightmares a lot about, well, I'll tell you guys that later, but I had this weird experience. After this, I was awake, and I don't know if you guys know what an alert seizure is. I don't even know if that's what it was, mm-hmm. but I told Mom about this too. I was wide awake, and I was kind of like, my body was relaxing, like it was getting ready to go to sleep, but I was downstairs on the couch, I was watching a movie, and all of a sudden, I heard a man in my left ear say, "I'm sorry." And then I was completely alert after that. I was fully wide awake, and then my body started to relax again. And in my right ear, it sounded like radio static, and it was glitching in and out. And seconds after that started, my entire insides, like my whole body, I don't know if it was physically happening, but my body was shaking. Like I was having a seizure. Like if you see somebody have a seizure and you can see their body convulsing, that's what was happening inside. And I could not move. Like my body was frozen. And my eyes were stuck on my kitchen. And my entire kitchen looked like it was shaking. Kind of like vertigo. Mm. My entire kitchen was shaking, my living room, everything, and I felt my eyes like rolling in the back of my head, and then I just felt this wave of fear enter my body. And as soon as I moved my hand, it all stopped.
So like you had to force movement mm-hmm. of some sort.
I had okay. to force my body to move.
Wow.
And I was scared I had a freaking seizure, but a lot of times you're not, you don't remember them. And right. that's why I even called Grandma. I'm like, what the hell just happened to me? I have never experienced anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
And that just worried me in general, just because I was worried about my health. And I'm like, am I so sleep deprived? It's affecting my physical health. And so I don't really know what happened there, but last night, I just told Mom about this today. Last night, I was on the phone with my best friend, and the one that mm-hmm. she's experiencing stuff too. And I was on the phone with her, and I heard thudding in my kitchen. And you can see into my kitchen through from my couch.
Right, it's an open floor yes. plan.
And it sounded like somebody was walking, but it was weird. It wasn't all the way walking. It, like, thudding. That's how I'm going to explain it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't comprehending it in the beginning, like everything else. It was just more of like, whatever, because when my heater's on, it's hard to hear things clearly. So I wasn't paying any attention. But then I heard it again, and I looked towards my kitchen, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And my water bottle, you know, when you squeeze a water bottle, it makes that whatever
mm-hmm.
sound.
Mm-hmm. Like one of the plastic ones from a yeah. gas station or yeah. whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what fucking happened. And I looked and I was like, what the fuck? Because I have a water bottle sitting on my bar. And it was just there, like completely fine. And when I looked at it, it was crumpled, crinkled, whatever you call it. And I was like, what the fuck? So I started praying, and I was telling Ashlyn about this, and she was just like, you know, she's kind of worried too, because it's like, well, what, you know, what is going on?
Right, right.
Well, and I don't really know, but at this point in time in my life, I'm really trying to get rid of all negative energies, negative people, anything like that out of my life.
Sure.
Especially with what's going on. And I just prayed really, really hard. And at that time, I looked directly in that kitchen and told it to get out of my house. And I was talking to Jesus and Archangel Michael and Gabriel and whatnot. And I was just like, I need help. There's something wrong. And I cannot do this.
And you called on Grandma Mary and, like, our ancestors too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I can't do this alone. I don't know what's going on and I need help. And, you know, I did what I needed to do. And I just looked. I almost not faced it directly because I didn't know if it was still there. But that seems to be where I feel it the most, is in my kitchen, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or hear it upstairs or something weird like that. But I told it, I was like, get out of my house. Get out. Like, you are not welcome here. Go back to wherever you came from. This is a house of God. I am a woman of God. And you are not going to touch me, my son. And I just asked, whatever is trying to attach itself to me or this house needs to leave, you know? And today, you know, I meditated for over 2 hours and I was just sitting kind of with God. Mm-hmm. And praying, because I've never experienced this much turmoil, I guess.
Yeah.
By myself, in my own home, out of nowhere.
Right.
And I mean, I'm going through a lot right now, and I'm pretty sad about what's going on, and I have a lot of anxiety and stuff, and I know that attracts shit, but I was just talking to God, and I was like, whoever, whatever, put something on me or is wishing negative upon me, send it back. I don't want it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Take back all your negative energies. 100%. Yeah.
And anyone who's trying to steal my energy, I want it back. Like, I am here to protect me and my son, and I need help because there's something going on I can't really explain right now.
Right. Well, and the thing too is, little man, we figured out as a young baby, he also is gifted in that,
he is.
In that aspect. And, so the fact that he's waking up right after you're waking up,
that scares me.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And so,
'cause I remember as a little kid, yeah. I mean, like little,
yeah.
I have these vague memories of me in a crib. At Grandma's house, Grandma Shelley's.
Mm-hmm.
Me in a crib, and I'll wake up and I am screaming because I felt like something was over me and nothing would come out.
Well, yeah, but that house was haunted too.
That's what I'm saying. But even as
that
little,
house had the Hat Man in it.
I know, but I'm saying even as a little, like, I remember those memories, and I was not old enough to remember those.
True.
And it worries me that, in a sense, he is like that, and I don't want him going through that because I remember how terrified I was.
Yeah, but at the same time, children have very open minds.
Yeah.
And they're gonna experience things, and it's all about how you learn how to deal with them, whether you shut them down or you embrace them, type of deal.
Yeah.
But I think he's gonna be okay. I think our little dude's gonna be okay. So this story with Mercedes' house obviously is not concluded yet because we're still in the midst of all the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably going to be a part two of this part. Hopefully it will end and we'll be able to have a part two that has an ending. But for now, we just have to leave the story hanging, guys. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Thanks for joining, Misfits. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. After all, mystery loves company.